Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
Now, one of the most powerful things, the reason we're showing that is because you don't know who you're sitting next to sometimes. Sometimes we show up here on Sunday morning and we all put our nice, you know, our nice-ish clothes on for Sunday church and put our smile on. And sometimes you don't know the person you're sitting next to is going through hell, man. And what's important to understand, too, is that one of the biggest things the enemy will do to you in, when you're going through a situation is tell you that you're the only one going through anything. And you'll be sitting there in the middle of a service on Sunday morning in worship, and you'll watch everybody else worship, and in your head you'll be thinking, see, everybody else has got everything straightened out, and you're so jacked up. And what you don't understand is that, man, we're all going through the same stuff. Our battles may be a little different. Man, we're all walking in here, one foot in front of the other, trusting God for our next step, most of us, for the majority of the time. That's what faith is. Amen? And we're going to continue. We got this week and next week, we're going to be ending our This Is My Story series. It's probably one of the favorite messages that we've done. And I really believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak to us powerfully. Really, I really had this message that we're going to get into here in a little bit last week. And really, this is kind of the... This was the what I really wanted to share around this whole series, this idea of the power of our story, the power of our testimony. Last week, we talked about being in the middle. Everybody go like this. We talked about last week, listen, if you still got air in your lungs and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then it's not over. You're in the middle. Amen? Until you have no air left in your body, you're still in the middle of your story. Come on, somebody. And in Christ, even when it looks like the end, guess what? Sometimes it can just be the middle and the end can be a whole new beginning because we have resurrection power that is available to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And so no matter how bleak it may look, it's a good reminder to know that you are in the middle of your story. But today, we're gonna look at another part of our story and having a story that kills the dragon. I'm going to read a scripture here in just a minute. But this morning, we're going to talk about this. And I believe this, for every person in this room this morning, we're going to walk out of here with a fresh fire, a fresh zeal, and a fresh passion, and we're going to do this. From this moment on, we're not going to let the enemy shame our story, not for one more day. We're going to put an end to the shaming of our story. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and it says this. It says, they is you and me, the believers, the church, Christians, says they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Let me say that one more time. They defeated him. Who's they? Say they is me. Who's they? That's right. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to just sweep over this place. Lord, I come against every distraction, every idea of what we have to do, what we have going on. God, I know we got Thanksgiving coming up, and some are already beginning probably to plan their meals, and some even are doing that this weekend. But God, I pray for these next few moments. God, we would just right now zero in, focus in, get our heart and our mind and our spirit just awake and alert and aligned with whatever you want to say and do and speak and drop in our hearts and in our lives this morning in this place. In Jesus' name, everybody said... Amen. If you guys have ever been around my house, or maybe you guys ever took a walk around my house at 511 East 8th Street, right down here by the pool, we got two dogs. We got a little basset hound, and we're working on him. He still needs some help, but we have another dog, Sasha. She's been around a little older, and she's an English bulldog beagle mix, but she looks just like a little pit bull, and everybody thinks she's a pit. Now, this is something that I get a kick out of, because a lot of people walk to the park, and they walk down to the walking track, and they walk past our house all the time, and we have an electric invisible fence for the dogs, but what's great is when people are walking by, they don't know that, and so they you know, would be jogging by or riding their bike by, and they got this little dog and she's a real muscular little dog, and anytime somebody walks by or runs by, she just starts, now she's She's just playing, but she sounds really vicious and like she's about to go on the attack. She's got that real low to the ground kind of, you know, those dogs that run real low to the ground with their butt kind of scooting across the ground. Like she's on, she just runs right to the edge of the property, barking like she's going to rip somebody's throat out. She really is just saying hello. But it's funny to watch people go, oh, my God, as this dog starts running at them, but she won't jump out of that electric fence. And so, anyway, she can jump. She has an awesome jump, and she's a little short dog. But man, in our old house, we had this fence that was about, we had a section of the fence that was about chest high, normal size, and then we had, because the way the ground went, there was a section of fence that was like knee high. Now Sasha, that's her name. If you were walking by the alley, she could jump and get her head above the chest high portion of fence to bark at you and say hello, you know, like that. And but here's the thing: since she was a puppy, she had been in that yard. Now she could have easily any time jumped over that little knee-high section of fence and been gone. But because as a puppy, that's the only yard she really knew before we moved, she never did try to jump that portion of fence. It was so weird. She would run to the fence and just kind of put her paw up on it and bark at you. And then if you went around the corner, she would run over to the other side and then she'd be jumping like this. I'm like, why doesn't she jump over the fence? She could do it in a heartbeat. And obviously, because that's what she had known in her mind, something had damaged her in her mind, something had told her, you cannot do this. You cannot jump this fence. You are unable to jump this fence. And I assume it was just because that's, as a pup, that's the only explanation I can have for her. But she never tried to jump the fence. And this is what I really believe that the enemy wants to do to a lot of believers in their story and their testimony. Is he wants to bring so much shame, so much guilt, so much condemnation to your story so that you will just assume that your story has no power, is of no use to the kingdom, and that God cannot do anything with it. And the reason he wants to attack your story and bring shame and guilt and condemnation to your life is because the Word of God has declared that our story, our testimony, is part of what defeats him. We defeat him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So our testimony, our story, your story has power to defeat the enemy. And so if the enemy can convince you that your testimony, your story is worthless, is no good, and bring a bunch of shame and guilt and condemnation to it, he will have us trained just like Sasha was trained, that we can't jump the fence and that our story is of no use and that our story is of no good. But I've got news for you this morning. Today, we are redeeming every single story, and I believe you're going to walk out of here today saying, you know what? This is my story, and Jesus has redeemed me, and there's no shame in my story. I'm going to use my story for the glory of God to defeat the enemy at every turn. Amen, somebody. Amen. The reason the enemy wants to shame your story is because there's power in your story. Now, let me tell you a couple ways the enemy will work to shame your story. Two ways. I've heard both of these. I've thought both of these in my life before. Here's one way the enemy wants to shame your story. It's this. The enemy will shame your story by saying to you, by putting a thought in your head, your story isn't big enough to give God any glory. Anybody ever thought that? You know, you just lived a normal life. You didn't really, you know, you were never a drug addict. You were never a prostitute. You were never hooked on heroin. You were never an alcoholic. You never went to jail. You never spent the night in prison. You just kind of, you know, went to high school, went to college, got a normal job, lived a normal life, raised a couple of kids, went to church on Sunday, were involved there, whatever. And, you know, just kind of a normal story. And the enemy wants to tell you your story is too normal to give God any glory. Let me tell you what the Bible says here. Jude chapter, there's only one chapter in Jude. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Listen to this. It says, now all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling. Everybody say, keep me. Who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to God who is able to keep you. Let me tell you something. I believe sometimes we do not give enough glory to God for his keeping power in my life. Amen? We talk all about his ability to save. We talk all about his ability to redeem. We talk all about his ability to restore. But guess what? There is just as much glory in God's ability to save and restore and redeem and take something that was jacked up and messed up and fix it and make it into something beautiful. There is just as much glory in God's keeping grace for my life. Amen? There is just as much power in a testimony that says, I was saved at 6 years old, lived my whole life on fire for Jesus, went to church every chance that I got, never strayed, never had a crazy thing happen in my life. I just loved Jesus, followed Jesus, and he's doing great things in my life. Listen, that is a powerful testimony. Amen? His keeping power. Don't let the enemy shame your story and rob you of the power that God wants to display and his glory that he wants to display in your story by telling you your story is somehow not big enough, not bad enough, not crazy enough for God to use. Amen? Amen? Listen, I'll just be honest. I've heard enough stories of people who were on drugs and who were jacked up and who were messed up and who did all kinds of crazy things, and that's amazing and beautiful and great. I tell you what, though, I believe we could do a little more with some stories that say, man, I followed Jesus and I didn't have to get on drugs. I followed Jesus and I didn't have to go to jail. I followed Jesus and I didn't have to go through 7 marriages. I followed Jesus and I didn't have to get pregnant when I was 16. I followed Jesus and I didn't have to get hooked on heroin. Come on, somebody. I followed Jesus every day of my life and I didn't have to go from relationship to relationship trying to find self-worth. I found self-worth when I was 8 years old at an altar in church following Jesus. Come on, somebody. I wish we would talk about those stories a little more sometimes, to be honest with you. Because the keeping power of God is just as glorious as the redeeming power of God. Amen? So you may feel like you have a meek and a mild and a weak story. I got to tell you something. You got a story that gives God glory if it displays his keeping grace in your life. Amen. The second way that the enemy wants to try to shame your story, the enemy wants to shame your story by telling your story is too messy for God to use. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, if my story's bland and weak, and I wasn't on drugs, and I didn't go through this, and I didn't have some kind of abuse, or I didn't destroy my life, I didn't wreck myself, then that's not good enough. But if I did do all those things, now I've got these thoughts in my head that enemy will put lies in your head, telling you your story is too jacked up for God to use, and nobody can deal with that, and nobody, God can't do anything with that, and nobody wants to hear anything about that. That's the other lie. Like, as if there's some kind of perfect middle that God is looking for, like, just bad enough, but not too crazy bad. You know what I'm saying? Like we want a story like, yeah, I used to smoke weed, but I never did heroin or something like that. Like, that's like where God, no, that's all so ridiculous and foolish and nothing but a lie from the pit of hell that the enemy is trying to shame your story. Why? Because your story has the power to silence and defeat the enemy in your life. Amen? Your story's not too messy to have any power. Listen, we've got to understand the difference between conviction and condemnation. Are you with me? Now, I want to address this for just a second while I'm talking about this, because there is some ideas out there that we think that God doesn't want you to ever feel bad about anything. And the reality is that's not quite true. As a follower of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me, when I do something that offends God, I should feel that. That should hurt me because it hurts him. Amen? But there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. I want to share that with you just a second. Listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, friend, there is no condemnation for you. There is no condemning for you. You are not being condemned by God in heaven. Amen? As believers, though, I should feel conviction. Here's the deal. I'm going to read these two scriptures, and I'll explain to you the difference. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience, leads us, watch this, leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Okay, I know there's a lot of big churchy words there, and I'm not going to go into all the theology, but I just want to explain to you the difference between condemnation and conviction. Here's the main difference. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience, talking about conviction, leads us away from sin and results in salvation, okay? There's no regret for this kind of sorrow. He's talking about conviction there, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When I feel bad because I messed up, because I made a bad choice, or I made a stupid, idiotic decision, or I let my flesh get out of control, or I let myself get out of control, I did what I knew God didn't want me to do. Listen, I should experience godly sorrow, conviction. Here's the difference between conviction and condemnation. And it's right here in this scripture. The kind of sorrow God wants us to experience, which is conviction, leads us away from sin and to salvation. Basically, conviction draws us closer to God. You understand that? Conviction should always, when I'm experiencing conviction, it will draw me to God. It will draw me to God in prayer. It will draw me closer to God. It will cause me to get on my knees and ask God to forgive me and wash me and make me clean. But condemnation says there's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow or condemnation, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Do you know what spiritual death is? Spiritual death is simply this. It's separation from God. Does that make sense? That's why there's different kinds of deaths that we're going to experience. The Bible says it's appointed for man once to die, and then the judgment. That's our physical death, the end of this life when I stop breathing and this body of flesh stops working. That's physical death. And if I die physically without Christ having redeemed my soul, then I will experience eternal death, which is eternal separation from God. So worldly sorrow or condemnation, the kind of guilt and shame that the enemy wants to bring to your life and shame your story, will draw you away from God. It's a real easy way to know whether or not you're experiencing conviction or condemnation. If you're experiencing conviction, you are going to come to God. You are going to bring that thing to God. When you're experiencing conviction in your life, let me put it this way. When you're experiencing conviction in your life, you're not going to skip church. You're going to get there and get things right with God. When you're experiencing condemnation, however, the feelings will say, how in the world can a dirty old sinner like you show up in church this morning? How can you sing those songs? How can you close your eyes? How can you raise? Let me tell you something, guys. That's condemnation. Amen? It's quiet in here. It's making me nervous. That's condemnation. And the Bible declares in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ, if you have accepted Jesus Christ and you are a follower of Jesus, guess what? We are not to be operating by condemnation and guilt and shame. Amen? We need to be operating by conviction. Conviction draws me closer to God. Condemnation wants to draw me away from God. Spiritual death. And here's what you got to understand. We're going to go all the way back to part one of This Is My Story from a couple weeks ago. Listen to me, guys. Everybody, in fact, just lean in so I can whisper in your ear for just a second. If I lean in as you see, give me that ear for just a second. Let me just drop this little nugget of truth in your spirit here this morning. Listen. When Jesus is the main character of your story, when you stop being the main character and I allow him to become the main character, listen, there is no story too messy and there is no story too tidy that God can't get glory out of it. If my story is messy, then he'll get glory from his redeeming, saving, restoring power in my life. And if my story seems tame and tidy and clean and neat, guess what? He'll get glory from his keeping power in my life. Either way, when Jesus is the main character, there is no story too messy. There is no story too tidy for me to allow shame about any part of my story. It will all bring glory to God and be a dragon slaying story. Amen. And I just wonder this morning, if there's not some of us sitting right here today, and we have allowed shame to kill the power of our story, we've allowed condemnation or guilt or shame of any type to kill your story, and you're sitting there this morning thinking, nah, my story is not that great. I didn't have an encounter like Meg Fries had that we heard about a couple of weeks ago where Jesus just really showed up in my car and nobody was there and it was just God speaking to my, I don't have a story like that, so my story is not powerful. Or I haven't been through anything crazy with my kid like Zach did, and I don't have, listen, forget all that. Whatever God's doing in your life that's your story, he wants to get glory out of it. Whether it's a mess, whether it's jacked up, whether it's crazy, whether it's out of this, you wouldn't even believe it if I told you, or whether it's just kind of, listen, when Jesus is the main character, there's no story too tidy. There's no story too messy that God can't get behind it. All God wants us to do, listen, all that we have to do to get our story right is we just got to bring whatever we have, whatever we are, we've got to bring that to the table and let God use it for his glory. Amen?
Hear the voice of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you, and a friend who understands everything you're going through. Keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. But there's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place and bring it all to the table? Nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. He can't see the weight you carry, fears and hopes you're. But through the cross you've been forgiven. You're accepted as you are. So bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. Thank you. nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, the Savior and he calls, bring it all to the table.
Keep playing that. Keep playing that for me. Bring it down just a little bit. Now listen. You got two choices here this morning. You can either let the enemy continue to shame your story, or you can bring it to the table and let God use your story to shame the enemy. You can do whatever you want. The choice is yours. I'm here to encourage you today to say, man, stop letting the enemy shame your story. Bring your story to the table and let God use that story to shame the enemy. Now, there's two things you've got to understand about that. Number one, the part of your story that has power is the part you're most ashamed of. You need to understand that. The part of your story that has taken you weeks and years sometimes of prayer and fasting and seeking God and counsel and time in church and time in an altar and time of worship and time in the Word, that part that's taken the most time to deal with and the part the enemy is bringing the most shame to, guess what? That's really the part that God wants to empower. Amen? It's not, listen, it's not the part that I'm comfortable with bringing to the table that has power to defeat the enemy. It's the part that I don't want anybody to see. It's the part that I don't want anybody to know about. It's the part that only me and God know about, that I would never dare share with anyone. Guess what? That's the very part that God wants to empower to kill the dragon in your life, in your home, in your family, and in our community. And the reason he's attacking that part so much is because it has so much power. The second thing you need to understand this morning is this. I want you to get this. I want you to listen to this. I want you to hear this. I can never know full redemption of my story until I bring the whole story to the table. Do you understand what I'm saying? I will not experience Jesus' full redemption in my life until I'm willing to bring my whole story to the table and turn that over for him. And for some of you guys, listen, you love Jesus, you're serving God, you've been in church, you're doing the things that you're supposed to do, but listen, I believe for some of us, there's still that little part of your backstory, there's still that little part of your testimony, that one thing I mean you just haven't given over yet, because maybe there's shame, there's guilt, there's condemnation, but here's what's happening. As long as I'm holding on to that little part, that's a little part that I cannot give to God, then that's a little part of his redemption that I can't experience in my life. And then we wonder, why am I still walking around so beat up all the time? Why am I still walking around full of condemnation all the time? Why am I still walking around struggling so much to just keep it together? It's because I need to bring not just the parts that I want you to see to the table, but I need to bring the parts that I hope you never see. I want to bring those to the table too and say, God, I want to experience all of your redemption and let you redeem all of my story. Every last bit of it. Amen. Keep that plan for me if you can. I want to share with you one of the most shameful parts of my story. I don't know that I've ever shared this with anybody this morning. And it's probably not going to sound as big as I'm selling it. But for me, it's been really shameful. I was raised in church, grew up in church my whole life. I thank God for that godly heritage that my mom and dad instilled in me. walked away from that when I was younger, about 13. Started partying, started smoking weed, started doing stupid crap that teenagers do. Did that for two or three years, 4 years, so I was about 15, 16. And I really got excited about God. God gloriously restored my life. I got really on fire for him. I said, that's it. I'm going back. I'm never going back. I'm serving God from this point on. That doesn't mean I was perfect. I certainly wasn't, which you're about to hear. I knew within about 6 months of me giving my life to Christ that God had called me to preach and to be in ministry. I knew that. It was like my whole life had changed. I know there are some people here that I went to high school with. I don't know if any of you guys remember this or not, but when I got saved, I think it was my sophomore year in high school, I began, maybe my junior year, I began a, as part of the story of the history of this church is that the very first sermon I ever preached was at a See You at the Pole rally that I organized at FCHS when I was 20 years ago now. First sermon I ever preached was at the high school flagpole out here. Still there, same place. Carly, you were there. She was a teacher. She was there. She remembers. Okay, so part of that is I didn't know what to do. I knew I wanted to do something for our school. And so I started a prayer group and Bible study in our school. We met three days a week. And I just started inviting my friends and some kids were showing up. And actually, it started to gain momentum. We ended up having some weeks we'd have like 30, 40 kids there on a Wednesday night. And I was teaching. I didn't know what I was preaching. It was probably the worst sermons ever in the history of sermons. I preached everything I knew and repeated it four times. And 5 minutes it went by. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. But I was just on fire for God. And there were some of my friends that were coming. They were starting to get saved and starting to ask questions. I was taking them to church. We was taking them to youth group. But the shameful part is this. And I can make excuses for it that I was just young and I was foolish and I was stupid. And those are all probably viable excuses. But the reality is I was just undisciplined. And we did this prayer group for about a year. And it kind of peaked out after a few months, and then it just slowly dropped off. And then here's what happened. It slowly dropped off because, listen, I began to be undisciplined in my walk with God and began to allow things back into my life that I knew God was calling me away from. And that's a shameful part for me. And one of the reasons that that seeing God move here in this church and the reason that I was so thankful that I felt like God called me back to this community is because I really feel like 20 years ago, God wanted to do something incredible and great in that moment. And I, not that I was responsible for, because God can do whatever he wants to, but I know that I jacked that thing up that God wanted. Do you understand that? Listen, I can make choices in my life. We can make choices in our life that tie God's hands and get us off the path and out of the place and out of position for what God wants us to do. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So 20 years ago when God was moving and was about to birth the revival in our high school, I really believed that. I'll never know what was going to happen because I allowed things to slip back into my life that I knew shouldn't be there. That took me a couple more years to get out of. And so when I felt like God called me back to Brookfield, there was a part of me that said, God, can you redeem 20 years later what I jacked up 20 years ago when I was a stupid 16-year-old kid? Amen. I believe he's doing that. That's just a part of my story that I know it's not like something crazy, but I've been ashamed of that. I've been ashamed of that for a long time, and I've never shared that with anybody. I don't think I've shared it with my wife really, but that's just part of my story. That I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to bring the whole story to the table. Amen. Will you stand in the Elvis place this morning? You got that rock? You got that rock? I believe God wants you to experience full redemption this morning. If you didn't get one, there's some more right here, and there's some towels in there if you want to wipe them off. They're right up here. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play that song again. There's some markers up here. We're just going to let that song play that they just sang. And as that song plays, I want you to bring your whole story to the table. And what I want to encourage you is when you come up, I want you to grab a marker. And I want you to write on that rock. Whatever, maybe it's a couple words, maybe it's just one word, whatever do you represent, it doesn't have to make any sense to anybody else but you. Nobody's going to look through these or see these. I want you to write on that something that represents the part of your story that the enemy is shamed. And we're going to bring that to the table. I want you to put in these, there's two baskets right here. Put them right here in these baskets. And as you do, we're saying, God, I'm bringing you this part of my story today. I'm not going to let the enemy shame this part of my story anymore. I'm going to let this part of my story that man I've tried to keep hidden, that I've tried to keep blocked off, that I've tried to keep even from you, that I've kept from my friends, if God, no more. Today, I'm giving that to you. I'm bringing that to the table. Can we do that today? When you bring your whole story to the table, you'll experience his whole redemption. I don't know about you. I don't want to just have half of something that when God said I can have it all. Amen? Heavenly Father, right now in this place today, I pray, Father, that you would give us the freedom and the boldness to bring our whole story to the table. God, I pray right now, that part that the enemy has tried to shame, Lord God, that you will flip the switch on that inside of us, Lord, and let us recognize that that's the part that you're trying to empower, is the part the enemy is trying to shame, in Jesus' name. And I speak over every single one of us right now. God, we are going to bring our whole story. We're going to bring every part that the enemy tries to shame. We're bringing that to the table, and we're going to give that to you and let you bring glory to that in your way and for your name and for your kingdom, in Jesus' name. From this moment on, we recognize the power to defeat the enemy in our story and in our testimony. And God, we are not going to let the enemy shame that, not for one more second, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.